This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Mariners get things going tomorrow. Opening day. Cannot wait to be out there. We'll be outside the left field gate as we are each and every season. Come on out, say hello, hang out, enjoy the day. Let's celebrate, man. We're going to be out there starting at 10 a.m. Bump and Stacy will be out there live. Then we will follow and take you all the way up to the 6 o'clock pregame. We're going to have guests coming out there. There are going to be prizes available. All you have to do is show the proper people. You've got the Seattle Sports app downloaded on your phone, and you're going to be in line to win some prizes just for having something you probably already have.
Well, if you have any problems with the app and loading it on your phone, just come see me. Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Our technology guru, Dave Wyman, will be right there to assist anybody that have any issues, not just your phone, your computer, your Apple wallet, whatever's going wrong. Dave can get it all set up for you.
Don't go to Bob, I'll tell you that much.
Or the Phoenix Airport.
He's a guy with a paper ticket still, apparently.
So. Boy, and I was doing so well with those. I was downloading them. I've scanned them a bunch of times. I've never had an issue. And then all of a sudden, this one hit me. And I was like, ugh, Wyman.
Yeah. Well, and I was sort of commiserating with the lady, Donna, who was sitting next to me. It was, you know, from my era or whatever.
Did she have a paper ticket, too?
I think she did. Yeah. Well, let's see. She asked me how to put her phone into airplane mode. So I'm going to say yes, that she probably. I felt really smart.
Did you?
As far as the technology goes. But yeah, she was kind of
going, I can show you how to email if you want me to show you that too.
I said, look, I could not be more sympathetic to people trying to figure out their phones because, you know, my mom down in Arizona, like at the Apple store, they have classes that you go to figure out how to use your, which I'm like, yeah, there's probably a lot of old people down there like my parents who were in their 80s, but I could see me going to that.
Yeah, Dave's up front with a notebook and a pencil. I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
Yes, I'd be asking all kinds of questions.
Dave's raising his hand every other month. Yeah. Now, what if you'd be doing the what ifs?
Yeah.
Yeah, do they charge for those, by the way? I think I've seen that.
I think it comes with, if you buy the phone, it's free or something, because, I don't know, the phones are like, what, $700 or something like that?
More than that these days, man. Yeah. Goodness gracious.
What are they on, the iPhone, like 75?
14. Oh, 14. I think 14 is the latest incarnation of cell phones, or Apple phones.
I think mine is a 7.
Is it really?
Something like that.
Boy, you're a few behind, man.
Yeah, everything, I mean, it does the Apple Wallet thing. That's it. That's all I need.
Lefko does the Apple Wallet
thing. How many times do you think that Lefko said Apple Wallet over the last year, especially when dealing with me?
Well, it should only have to be once. That's what she's explaining.
You think you've said that more to Dave than to me?
I just wanted to rattle his cage.
Yeah, I have said it a lot, and then I think you guys jokingly have probably said it more than I have.
Yeah. Well, you did say Apple Wallet a lot in the beginning. And before I even knew what it was, Apple Wallet and Apple Wallet, all I heard was blah, blah, blah. It's like, when they see a dog and how there was an episode of Frasier where it was showing from the dogs. The dog's name is Eddie. Mm-hmm. And it was like, blah, 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 Eddie, blah, 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 blah,
that's
Eddie.
All they heard.
Yeah, that's all I heard was Apple Wallet.
Blah, 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 Apple Wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that you say your phone's advanced enough. It does the Apple Wallet thing. Like, that's a new feature. I've got that feature on there, so it's not that old of a phone.
Yeah, well, yours didn't work. So
I don't know what happened. They seemed just as perplexed as I was when I had to go all the way back down to where I checked in. She was looking at it. She kept trying it. She goes, huh, yeah, it's not working.
So you had to come back, go through
all
security
the way back down.
Again.
Yeah.
Take your belt off, shoes, the whole thing twice.
Well, I didn't get through security to get to the belt.
Okay,
so I was trying that last check before you go to the conveyor belt.
But
that's where I got stopped.
But you had to go back and
get
in
back
line.
To the ticketing, get back in line. After I stopped by four or five kiosks trying to get it to work there, and they wouldn't even let me attempt.
That's one place where I do not want more waiting.
Oh,
to J.P. Morosi's point.
Too much. Too much. All right. Well, the Mariners are going to be taking on the Cleveland Guardians. Still not used to calling them the Guardians yet.
Yeah.
It'll sink in. But this was a good team last year. They won their division. This is a good team. They did get hit. We talked about some injury news with Tristan McKenzie, who was, I believe, set to pitch game 2, the Friday game.
He is out with an injury. We're trying to connect with their play-by-play man and Matt Underwood, who's their TV play-by-play guy. Just get a little scouting report on this team and the feelings around that. We told you that our very own Larry Stone picked them to win the World Series. As the Times had a few of their writers do their picks, the AL champs, NL champs, they did MVPs, Cy Young. They might have done Rookie of the Year. I can't remember if they did that. But anyway, they did their who's gonna be in the World Series and who wins. And his was the Guardians.
Was all AL or did he do both? AL.
No, everybody did both in terms of MVPs and Cy Youngs. And
what about Cy Young? Did he have Luis?
No, I can't. I'll have to look it up.
I'd have to go with
Rob. I can find it.
How about Robbie Ray? I mean, all the raving that we did, I thought that was one of the more interesting things. We talked about this last week, that that Robbie Ray was like the big news of like coming out of, you know, him and Kelnick were the big, like showing this vast improvement. He's 2 years away from winning a Cy Young, Robbie Ray is. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what kind of stuff he has. But
he was fun to watch while we were out there.
Yeah,
boy, that grunt is awfully loud in that small stadium. You know, it's you know, T-Mobile. You got 47,000 on opening day.
Yeah,
you know that small stadium out there. What were there, like 5,000 or something? I don't really know how many people were out there, but that grunt carried.
Yeah,
it was very loud. And then when he was obviously working out right behind us, it's. Boy, it's a yell.
I think the thing that stood out to me, first of all, I love the sound of the metal cleats walking on concrete.
That's the best.
Yeah. But then also just the smack of the catcher's glove. I mean, that thing was zipping in there. Yeah. So
every sound out there is just, maybe you had to grow up playing baseball or whatever. I just love the sound of the guys in the cage, just hearing that crack of the bat, mm-hmm. hearing them hitting, the sound of that ball hitting the catcher's mitt, the cleats on the concrete, all of it. It just gets you fired up. I love that. Absolutely love it. So, again, hopefully all of that translates into big things for this team this year because they expect it. The players, without question, expect to be exactly, you know, where they were last year, better than what they were last year. There's more confidence. There is more expectation on their part going into this. So that's pretty cool. And that was to a man. That was everybody we talked to. It wasn't even really we hope we can get here. It was no kind of an attitude of when we get there. And the fans should be excited. This is a very easy team to root for and feel a level of confidence about.
You know who I forgot plays for the Cleveland Guardians?
Who?
Our boy Mike Zunino.
Oh.
Totally. You know, I was looking at their stats, you know, from spring, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Totally forgot about that. So it'll be interesting to have Mike back in town. But I always loved that guy. He's one of my favorites. But, I thought the whole thing really was more fun than any time that I've ever been down for spring training, just because there's so much hope. And the one thing is, you know, we were talking earlier about the weak points, but think about the strengths. Think about the starting rotation. My gosh, the bullpen, which, you know, you'd never know how a bullpen's going to sort out. But having talked to Seawald and Andres Munoz, I mean, I feel like that could be like a real wild card.
Yeah,
that could be something that we haven't been talking about that much. We've been talking more about starting rotation, and as Scott says, starting rotation, starting pitching, or just pitching in general and defense, that's what wins games for you. But man, if you could get just a little bit of offense, I mean, that's been the thing that's been haunting them for the last couple of years. I mean, they've had good teams, as you pointed out, 90 win teams, but it's just a lack of offense.
Yeah, that's what's hurt them. And, you know, they're pitching, their defense has bailed them out, and I think it'll still be their strength. But I would expect, just based on who they've got with Teoscar there, with hopefully Colton Wong and everybody else, and then the young guys taking the next step, that the offense closes that gap, that they're not a conversation about, geez, you know, they left stranded nine more tonight and eight last night. And that's, you know, that's 17 and two game, whatever. We were doing that all last year, especially when they were 10. You forget, they win 90 games last year. They go to the playoffs. We're all living off the glory of Cal Raleigh's home run. You forget in June, they were 10 games under 500.
Yeah.
And you're just going, what? I guess the year before was a mirage. Maybe it was fool's gold. Maybe they, you know, everything broke their way despite all the injuries, that they just got all the lucky hops and everything. Went their way, and this is really who they are. And then, again, a testament to service and obviously the players, but they were able to not only turn it around, but turn it into an incredibly successful season, finishing with 90 wins after being 10 under in June. Mm. That's amazing.
Incredible. Yeah, the run they went on. You know, one guy that we didn't talk a lot about, and he's somebody I love watching play. Why, Bob? Because of his throwing arm. Eugenio Suarez. I think Perry Hill told us he thinks, yeah, he might have the best arm in Major League Baseball. But, you know, he's another guy that, you know, as Aaron Goldsmith said, what did he say? He flew past the numbers as far as the strikeouts went.
Yeah.
196 last year.
He lived up to that billing.
Yep, he did. But, you know, he had a lot of, timely big hits. And I love his defense. It's great. So that's a guy we didn't get a chance to talk to and maybe haven't given him enough credit about his pop and what he can get out of the, on the offensive side of things.
Yeah, we were hoping to get a chance to catch up with him. Biggest disappointment was he didn't do anything unique with his hair.
Yeah.
It's as long as it's ever been. It's very long right now. But, yeah, I thought he'd go with some cool design, some kind of cool dye job or something, you know, to make his kids laugh or whatever. He talked about it, what his daughter liked it last year. He had
half white, half he dyed it. And I was like, who's this clown? Who's this guy think he is?
Who's he think
and
he
then,
is?
Yeah, and I felt so terrible. He's like, well, my little girls, they loved it. I'm like, oh, what a jerk.
Yeah.
I was like, but I think he's got something going on with the eyebrows this year maybe where he's cut some.
Oh, did he?
Some slots in there, maybe. I don't know if that's a new picture or not that he has, but he'll have something for his
kids. Some slots in the eyebrow. Got some new slots there.
I don't know what you call it, Bob.
Yeah. I found the predictions here. So they did it with Ryan Divish, Adam Jude, Larry Stone, and Matt Calkins. They made their predictions. So looking at Divish, so they were giving the AL West order and how they see it finishing. So Divish has the Astros 1. Mariners 2, Rangers 3, Angels 4, A's 5. Then they go through Rookie of the Year. We won't go through those. Cy Young, he's got Garrett Cole in the AL, Max Fried in the NL. MVP, he's got Shohei Ohtani, which if that becomes true, I can't wait to see what kind of contract he signs, whether it's here or anywhere. He'll be the richest. He'll have the biggest contract of any athlete in the history of sports, at least in this country.
You know, really quick before you go on with that list, I was trying to explain like to my parents who aren't huge baseball fans, although I've told them all about the Mariners and everything. Yeah. But I was talking to them about Shohei Ohtani and like the time when they grew up, it was Muhammad Ali, Pele, who else?
When they grew up, probably maybe Bill Russell.
Maybe Bill Russell.
Kareem or somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, those two were like worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, Muhammad Ali and Pele. This is a guy who can be that. And, you know, I was talking to him about the old black and white movies where you see Babe Ruth running around
those tiny little steps.
I'm pretty sure I could outrun him.
Yeah.
You know, right now. I mean, and now you got this guy.
He's dead, Dave. He wouldn't hold a candle.
That's why I could outrun him, Bob.
No, my money's on you.
If you put us back in time, but Shohei Ohtani, I mean, I don't know. How much does he get paid? Is he the first $100 million a year guy, or am I even underselling him?
I know. I don't know if it goes that high, but it'll be the biggest contract we've ever seen. If he wins the MVP and what he was last year, he does it again this year, it'll be the biggest contract we've seen in any sport.
Well, you know, I guess I'm kind of thinking including endorsements.
You weren't here yesterday. We had the story. He'll make, what was it, $65 million this year? It'll be the highest.
In endorsements.
Well, it's 30 in his contract. So he signed a 1-year deal, $30 million. And then the other, I think it was like 62 something, 65, whatever. So the other 30 plus million is coming from endorsements and everything else. And it'll be the most for any baseball player.
Well, and I think whoever, you know, signs him to represent, whether it's their company or whether he's going to play baseball for you, you're going to get your money's worth. The guy is just an amazing show, a phenomenon.
Yeah, it's again. I really feel like there's a segment of the baseball world that doesn't truly appreciate what they're seeing. Something never occurring in our lifetime, right. In our lifetime, Dave.
Well, and it's not just here in the U.S. either, right? I mean, there's been nobody from Cuba or the DR or anywhere like that that's been.
Not doing it at what is considered the highest level in Major League Baseball, and to the extent that he's doing it. So. Yeah. But just getting back to what these guys from the Times pick. So Divish has got it going Astros, Mariners, Rangers, Angels, A's. That's the finish he sees. He's got Garrett Cole as a Cy Young Award winner in the American League, Max Fried in the NL, Shohei the MVP, Manny Machado the National League MVP. He's got the AL champ being the hated Houston Astros, the NL champ being the Braves, and the World Series champ, Braves. That's Divish. Adam Jude, same finish. Astros, Mariners, Angels, Rangers, A's. His Cy Young, he's got Luis Castillo as the Cy Young Award winner.
Who is this?
This is Adam Jude.
Yeah.
He's got Max Scherzer in the NL. And then MVP, he's got Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the American League, Manny Machado in the National League. He's got the Blue Jays as the AL champs, the Padres as the NL champs, with the World Series champs being the Padres. And then we got our guy Larry Stone. Astros, Mariners, Rangers, Angels, A's. Shohei is the Cy Young Award winner. Alcantara, the National League Cy Young Award winner. Shohei is the MVP, so he's the Cy Young and the MVP. He's got Juan Soto is the MVP in the National League. Guardians, the AL champ. Braves, NL champ. Guardians, World Series champs, according to Larry Stone.
Wow. How about Julio in there? Anybody for MVP? Or
Last one is Matt Calkins. He's got Astros, Mariners, Rangers, Angels, A's. So everybody's got the Astros first, Mariners second, and the A's last, and then they flip Rangers and Angels. Yeah. He's got Garrett Cole as the Cy Young Award winner. He's also got Alcantara in the National League. He's got Shohei as the MVP. Juan Soto is the MVP in the National League. He's got the Yankees is the American League champs. The Dodgers is the National League champs, with the Dodgers winning the World Series.
Well, I'll just do my own here, and you have to remind me. As far as Cy Young goes, AL, I'm going to go with Robbie Ray.
Really? You think he repeats?
Yes.
I was saying my dark horse was George Kirby. I thought it was going to be my hot take. I did another baseball video, by the way. It's up on YouTube, and I think it'll be up on SeattleSports.com. But that was one of the questions, like, what's your Mariner hot take? And I was like, well, it was going to be that Kirby would be in the discussion for the Cy Young, but I actually saw some national writers writing something similar. So I'm like, well, now that's a lukewarm take. It's not so hot. So that wasn't my hot take.
You're out on a limb, though. I mean, that's a there's a lot of people probably in Cleveland that that don't know who George Kirby is.
Oh, so they're going to find out.
Oh, yes, they will.
They're going to find out.
How about, yeah, I'm just surprised, like, maybe Julio is the MVP.
Nobody, at least the four guys from the Seattle Times, nobody picked him as an MVP candidate there. So that's a little surprising. But, hey, they're not paid to be homers. They're giving you their honest. So you've got one, as far as World Series champs, one with the Dodgers, one with the Guardians, one with the Padres, and one with the Braves. So three National League picks and one American League pick from our guy Larry Stone.
Yeah, I agree with the Padres and the NL. I feel like
they spent so much money. They better be in it.
Yeah.
If you're a Padres fan, aren't you going, you've got no excuse. You've got Tatis. You've got Soto. You've got Machado. You got Xander Bogaerts. We talk about the Mets and all the money they've spent there. The Padres are right there. They have committed a truckload of money, and that's a small market team, and they are going for it. If you're a Padres fan, you've got every reason in the world to be excited about this season.
I got to say, you know, like I mentioned Mike Zunino, always love following him. But Juan Soto, having, you know, Ryan Roland Smith fill in for you one time, and he was telling us about, I can't remember who his connection was there, but that Juan Soto, just the best dude, just high character guy, and just crushes it. So kind of secretly root for him, and it's my hometown.
Yeah.
Born in San Diego. But so, but yeah.
You'll root for them outside of the Mariners. If the Mariners don't make it, you'll go Padres.
Well, I know, and I know that everybody's going to get upset because they're such big rivals.
Yeah, we hate the Padres.
Yeah, oh, the hated Padres.
That hate's lasted for decades.
But Soto, man, just, you know, I didn't really know that much about him before last year, and then just all the stories you hear and just watching him. He's an incredible player.
Well, he's an incredible talent, man. And the dude is still so young. I think did he just turn 24? I think let me look up his age. I mean, he is so young. And that, man, and they got our guy Nelson Cruz over there too.
That's right, Nelly.
How about that?
Oh, man. Yeah, maybe still one of the nicest guys ever. Of any athlete anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. In any sport, he's just a prince among men out there.
He's right up there with Taylor Trammell. Yeah. Our guy Taylor Trammell.
Yep. Good dude. Yeah. 24 years old, Juan Soto. He'll be 25 in October. So just not that long ago, turned 24 years old.
Now, Taylor, getting back to Taylor Trammell, our favorite guy, I mean, he's not ready, right? I mean,
he's on the injured list. He and Dylan Moore.
Did you see his scar?
Oh, yeah.
It was very, like, uniform. Like, it looked like a perfect drawing. Like, a lot of times the scar that you get is, like, all over the place. And his was, like,
you're going to bargain
perfect.
Basement doctors, Dave.
Well, also, it was a couple centuries ago, the last time I had
They're just stitching it up every which way. Yeah. These guys care about their business, by God.
But, man, Taylor, just an incredible guy and just can't root for him harder.
Yeah, hopefully he's not set too far back because of the injury. He's going to start the year on the IL, so he'll get some time down there, you would assume, in AAA to come back and work on his timing, work on his swing. But, you know, another guy, we talk about, you know, if Kelnick can hit, what it does to the lineup. If you get a guy in Taylor Trammell, he's such an athlete, and he's such a – even if he's your fourth outfielder and you plug him in on a day when Kelnick has taken a day off, or you want to put him in right field when Teoscar needs a day off, and there's no drop-off in the way of defense, certainly, but he can give you something offensively. That is huge for this team. Mm. He could be really big for this team. So, yeah, impossible not to root for him either. I don't know what happened with our guy from Cleveland. The thumb's been back there on the phone, so I guess he's just not answering.
Maybe it's the whole time zone thing.
You think he's scared of the Mariners? I think he's scared.
Maybe he is.
I think he's worried about this series, and he's like, I don't want to go. But we'll try to get Matt Underwood on the phone at some point. He's the play-by-play man for the Cleveland Guardians on their TV broadcast. Paul Moyer will be with us at 5 o'clock, so make sure you stay tuned for that conversation. By the way, we've got to make sure to ask him about the comments coming out of San Francisco.
Ask him what?
About the comments coming out of San Francisco about Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's
earned the job.
He'll argue with you.
He's the guy. Is he going to call Lynch dumb? Is he going to say Shanahan's dumb? They don't understand what they're working with. Is he going to say something like that? We'll find out at 5 o'clock. What did you say, Lefko?
Oh, 4:30.
4:30.
4:30.
Oh, okay.
Good deal.
All right. Well, coming up, the guy that was going to join us a few minutes ago is going to join us coming up next. Matt Underwood, the TV play-by-play man for the Cleveland Guardians, coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Opening day is tomorrow. The Cleveland Guardians come to town for a four-game series to take on your Seattle Mariners. And here to give us a bit of a preview of this team coming in is their TV play-by-play man, Matt Underwood, who joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, Matt?
I'm great. Excited to get the season underway.
Hey, how fired up are you for the season in terms of expectations? This was a good team in Cleveland last year. We were just going through some of the columnist picks, you know, for division winners and World Series winners. And one of our columnists out here, Larry Stone, picked the Guardians to win the World Series this year. And I'm wondering if that's a popular belief out there.
Well, you know, I think there's certainly a lot of optimism. I don't know how many people are, kind of on the World Series or bus train. I think that when you're looking at the ball club, you know, a year ago, they kind of came out of nowhere. No one was expecting this team to, you know, be at or near the top of the standings in the division when they opened the year with the youngest roster in baseball and held that claim all the way to the end. But because of how quickly those young players adapted and how quickly they sort of took the town by storm, they're an easy group to embrace. You know, they play the game the right way, as we like to say in baseball. They're aggressive. They're kind of perfectly made for the rule changes and the way baseball is going. You know, a bat-to-ball team, contact-oriented. They run aggressively. They pitch well, and they catch the ball well. So I think they're perfectly suited to defend their Central Division crown. But as we all know, and we've already, you know, we're already dealing with injuries. Tristan McKenzie is going to miss probably the first 2 months of the season, and he's a key member of that rotation. A year ago, they were, you know, generally speaking, they were pretty healthy. They were able to avoid any catastrophic injuries. So, you know, that's a case for just about every team. But certainly when you're talking about a team that's already young, they can ill afford any major injuries along the way.
Yeah, Matt, we were down at spring training for the Mariners, and we didn't talk a whole lot about the running game, if you will, but are they built for that? Because you got the bigger bases, you got the limit on the throwovers. Is that something that you think they're going to take advantage of offensively?
I think they have the opportunity to do that. You know, when you look at Stephen Kwan and Miles Straw and Jose Ramirez, Ahmed Rosario, and the second baseman, Andrés Giménez, those guys all have the ability to steal. I mean, they were all right around 20 stolen bases a year ago. Can they increase that by 5 or maybe 10? I think that's certainly feasible, realistic. I don't think we're going to, you know, suddenly see guys stealing 40 bases on this ball club, but I think they have the ability to, you know, keep defenses on their toes. And that's the thing, you know, I remember last year a catcher told me that what is difficult about playing Cleveland is that from the catching position, you are always on edge because they can steal. And if you're not paying attention, they'll go first to third on you. If you have your head down on the outfield, they'll take the extra base because they're so darn aggressive. And he said that just keeps you on edge the entire game. And so I know the Mariners have speed. You know, you've got a guy like Julio Rodriguez who makes you nervous when he's on the bases. And, you know, that's something that the Cleveland has to do. You know, they didn't have power last year. And they do have, as you know, Mike Zunino, and they added Josh Bell. So they've got a couple of legitimate thumpers in the lineup now that they didn't have a year ago. But I don't think this is going to be, you know, sit back and play for the three-run homer baseball all of a sudden in Cleveland.
Well, you brought up the one guy I wanted to ask you about, and that is Stephen Kwan, who, you know, young guy, 25 years old, had such a great year. And I mean, a 373 on base, and as you mentioned, a guy who steals bases. What's the sort of projection for him? I know he's not a big power guy, obviously. He's not a huge guy, but is he a guy that you look at as feeling like he's scratching the surface of what he's going to be? Because he just seems to be a very complete player.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, and I understand if you're a scout, you're always looking for the total package. You want the best guy that you can find. You want power, you want average, you want, you know, great arm, all those things. The one thing that Stephen Kwan and another young player that made the opening day roster, Will Brennan, the one thing those guys had coming out of the draft was bat-to-ball skills. And that doesn't necessarily sell in the draft room. It's not sexy. But these guys have just the innate ability to hit line drives, to backspin the baseball, which, you know, again, I think it's not that it became a lost art, but people got so caught up in launch angle and trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark that you forget that, you know, the way to win games is getting on base more often and you know, driving the ball up the alley. So Kwan does that extremely well. So I, you know, could he drop off a little bit this year from what he did a year ago? Certainly. I think that's realistic. But I think he's also a guy that, you know, what you saw a year ago, that's who he is. That's the kind of player he is. He didn't do anything that I think wowed you to the point of, well, I don't know if he's going to be able to duplicate that. Because his game is take the ball up the middle. You know, he wasn't a guy that I think was impacted by the shift very much because, they didn't shift on him because he could slap the ball all over the park. And I think he's a guy that should continue to play at that level that we saw a year ago.
Hey, Matt, as far as like awareness, just kind of trying to gauge Julio Rodriguez's, sort of Q rating nationwide. I mean, I think he's going to be on the cover of GQ, and he's just a huge deal. He was a pretty big deal at the All-Star game. But is that someone that does it reach as far as Cleveland, as far as his popularity?
You know, I think if you're a baseball fan in Cleveland and you don't know about Julio Rodriguez, then you're already late to the party. I would think that, you know, the true baseball fans in Cleveland, and look, there are, you know, casual fans in every city, but the ones who really follow the game, I think they respect and understand he's the real deal. He's the baby face of the Mariners organization. I just looked recently, he's already, according to some odds makers, about fourth or fifth best odds to win the American League MVP, even ahead of a guy like Jose Ramirez, who's got about four or five top three finishes in the last 6-7 years. So I think people are aware of him because he plays a premium position. You know, he's in the center of the diamond. He does everything well, you know, and I think that's the kind of player that I'm excited to see returning to baseball. Is the home run ball fun? Sure it is. But I'd like to see complete players, guys that can run, throw, play defense, hit for average, and sting the ball with some power every once in a while. Those are the guys that I think the future of the game rests on.
Hey, Matt, as far as the offseason went, what were the goals for this team? Where were the holes, and did they address all the needs? That's something we, you know, obviously debate about what the Mariners needed and who they got to fill those holes. How did that go for Cleveland?
Yeah, I think, you know, similarly, when you look at Cleveland, because, again, they were the youngest team in baseball last year, they had so many young players that just stepped in and kind of took over roles and positions. There really weren't a lot of holes to plug in the offseason. The one glaring need was behind the plate. You know, they had two free agent catchers that left in the offseason. And while Austin Hedges and Luke Maley did a terrific job defensively and they were great in the room, neither one of them really provided a lot of offensive power or punch or consistency. So I think that's why they decided to, kick the tires on Mike Zunino. And, you know, he's a former defensive player of the year, as you know, and, you know, he's got that power ability. So that was a position that they addressed. And, of course, you know, Josh Bell, that was the big offseason acquisition, power hitter, can play first, but will primarily be the designated hitter. You know, they decided to stand pat with their pitching, which, you know, again, that's the roll of the dice. And as you know, in today's free agent market, it's a king's ransom to go out and acquire pitching usually. Usually the only guys that are available are the guys that are coming off injured, they're coming off a downturn in their career. So, you know, I think they decided that, you know, the prudent way to proceed was go with the guys you have. And look, they've done a tremendous job of drafting and developing. So the five guys that start the year on the rotation, minus Tristan McKenzie, because he'll be on the injured list, they have guys two, three, four deep that are on the cusp that could be ready to step in as the season goes along.
Matt, looking forward to the series, man. Cannot wait to get this thing going. So welcome to Seattle. Hopefully you have a great time here. I don't want you guys to win, but I hope you have a good time. And then we'll root for you after that. How about that?
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Always fun to come to Seattle and looking forward to a big four-game series. I mean, these two teams are both similar in many regards and both have high hopes. I know you've got the big dog Astros sitting in front of you and kind of been sitting on the top of the division for a while. Maybe it's your year to knock them off.
That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun,
we
Matt.
We would love that.
There would be a lot of celebration going on here. Hey, we appreciate it, Matt. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
There you go. Matt Underwood, the TV play-by-play man for the Cleveland Guardians as they come to town tomorrow, game one of a four-game series. And a reminder, you can celebrate Mariners opening day by joining us live broadcast happening outside the left field gates at T-Mobile Park. We're going to be there starting at 10 a.m. with Bump and Stacy, and then we will be there immediately following them here with Wyman and Bob. We'll take you all the way up to the pregame show at 6 o'clock. Plus, you can win things. Just show us that you've got the Seattle Sports app downloaded on your phone. You'll be entered to win a gift card or a prize pack from the Mariners team store. So a lot of stuff on the line. Just come on out, celebrate. It's going to be a really fun day. Coming up, Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel had the best line to sum up the state of the NFL, and we'll hear about it when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
I'm going to miss the NFL owners meetings just because of the great content that came out of it. We're going to get into some funny ones later, but Pete Carroll actually had a pretty good conversation with Steve Wyche at the owners meetings and on NFL Network. He was talking about how this process, this draft evaluation, it's been unique and why they've really enjoyed the process.
This is much different than it's been. I can't recall the intensity of it in our first year. We had a 6 pick in our first year when we got here like this. This is really something. And with all of the quarterback excitement and the great players that are there, and our experience too. Now, you know, Johnny and I have been together a long time. We've been working this stuff out, and he's great at it. He's phenomenal at orchestrating what's going to happen and predicting and then anticipation and the moves and all the things that we've done. This is really fun for him. I mean, he'll be on the top of his game, and really excited to see it come through. And it's fun for everybody. You know, it's fun for our fans and the players and the coaches and all of that.
How long have we been doing radio together, Bob? Off and on since 2013.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Long time.
It's pretty amazing that they've, sounds like a relationship.
That they're still together.
They stay together.
No, they still like each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's an art, you know, and obviously some relationships are easier than others. But for those two guys with that much, I'm not saying it's more pressure than we have as far as, you know, maintaining the excellence.
Nobody has more pressure than we have.
But, yeah, I mean, those two guys together, I mean, since 2010. And
I'm sure they've had their battles and gotten mad and yelled at each other and, you know, find a way through it. Like, all right, that's what happens. We're in a pressure cooker and somebody's going to lose their temper and we'll get back to it and no harm, no fouls.
But it's interesting to hear him say that this is, you know, totally different than years past. This is their highest pick?
Well, and they seem to be having fun with it. Now, you're not on Twitter, but they've been tweeting out all those pictures of them with the quarterbacks, and I think they get a kick out of it. You can just, the smile on their faces in the pictures is just kind of like, we know people are going to take this and run with it, and I think they get a kick out of the speculation that comes from those. I think they love that.
I feel like Pete has more fun with that than John, because I think John is so dedicated to not telling anybody anything. He's probably freaking out going, Pete, what are you doing? You're going to give it away.
Probably complete misdirection. They're looking at some, you know, defensive end or an old lineman or something, yet all these pictures are with the quarterbacks.
Well, and Pete is, you know, he always has this very, like, it's like a 10-step explanation of why that was the hint, and nobody would ever figure it out.
Sweeping the dial.
This is also from the NFL owners meetings. Patriots owner Robert Kraft says, well, might not have been the best idea to have Matt Patricia as their offensive coordinator last year.
I'm in no position to know whether going in that's the right thing. He's a very good guy, very smart, an engineer, works hard. And I think he got put in a difficult position. And I think it was sort of an experiment. And he worked very hard at it. In retrospect, I don't think it was the right thing.
How old is Robert Kraft? Because he's sounding a little different. But, yeah, Matt Patricia obviously didn't work out as a head coach. And then as an offensive coordinator, it didn't work out. And I'm sure he's probably not happy to hear it. Yeah, probably not the best idea to have him do that. He tried real hard, though.
He's 81, by the way.
Sounds like he's 101.
Which my dad just turned 81. I thought he turned 82. Tried to give him an extra year there. But, you know, he's 5'7", Bob.
Your dad?
Robert Kraft.
Oh, I was going to say, how'd you get so tall?
My brother's 6'6".
Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, we're all getting old. That's all. We're all getting there. We're all going to be there.
We'll get there, hopefully.
But I do think that, yeah, he was just sort of, I think you get sort of the verbal diarrhea the older you get. I mean, it's just
no filter
coming out and you don't really care. You really don't care. That's the main thing. Yeah. It's not so much that you say anything nastier. It's that I'm going to say what I think, and if anybody doesn't like it, I really don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, what impact. But Matt Patricia, if you're him and you hear that, are you just like, thanks. So I tried really hard, but that was a bad idea.
I think you go, oh, he's old.
Yeah.
Sweeping the dial.
Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel was an assistant with the Commanders from 2011 to 2013. So he was asked about Dan Snyder and the stuff that the Commanders are going to be sold for a rumored $6 billion. And in typical Mike McDaniel fashion, well, he had a great response when he heard how much they were worth.
From my experience, just because of my, you know, 3 years there, I didn't necessarily see that coming. But in general, people have different reasons to do whatever. I'm not going to pretend to know everything that's going on there. I'm just more looking at the fact that, wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee?
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. $6 billion, Dave. They've got two offers, by the way. They've got two fully vested, qualified offers, and one of the groups includes Magic Johnson, by the way.
Yeah,
but two different groups that are fully funded. That's what I was looking for. They are fully funded, $6 billion.
I wonder what Magic's stake would be in it. Like, you know, he's part of a group, like if he boiled it all down, but still, you know, Mike McDaniel, also, I saw the coach's picture that they took, and he had on what was kind of a goofy-looking outfit.
Was it green? Did it almost look like Green Bay colors or something?
Well, the one I saw, I thought was like a white vest with big buttons and like a coat. Anyway, they were making fun of it, and He's a really sharp guy, obviously. Yeah. I think he graduated from Yale, and he was like some kind of an engineer or something like that.
Show off.
He's got a very, very sophisticated, really funny sense of humor.
I couldn't get free coffee.
Because he was real serious there. And I didn't really see that coming. And then he hits you with that. I think he'd be fun to play with.
$6 billion for that. Goodness. That includes the stadium and everything, yeah? In that terrible field they play on. And
what did they spend, I think, originally? Somebody might know this, what the Nordstrom's paid for.
The Seahawks.
I want to say it was like $65
million. Yeah.
I think. A billion is $1,000 million. Holy moly.
How weird would a person be if they had $1 billion? You said they get weird after $1 million. Are you just straight up lunatic after $1 billion?
Yeah, they'd have to put you away.
Yeah, that's
put
right.
Put you in a funny farm.
You'd be committed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hate the thing. I know that we had this conversation with El Hombre yesterday and said, you know, of all people to just truly capitalize and profit from this Daniel Snyder. Yeah, you'll be rid of him, but he walks out with a whole lot more money than he came in with. And that's kind of a bummer. But $6 billion.
So, a little context there. Nordstrom, they bought the team, the expansion team then in 1974 for $12 million and then sold it for $80 million.
Oh, there's the sale price.
Yeah.
Okay.
$80 million, not bad.
In what year?
When did they sell? They bought it in 1974 and then they sold it.
I was there.
Sometime.
I think it was 88. I think it was 1988 because I think that was the last straw, I think, for John Nordstrom, the strike.
Yeah, yes, 88.
Yeah, he didn't like that. And
sold it to Baring?
Baring came in, and he was there running around with his guys.
He was awful.
Everywhere. And, you know, it was funny. I'm sorry to say this, but everybody, you know, I was around Pat Bowlen, Mr. Nordstrom. They all had something about them that was just like, I can see why.
They're successful.
He's successful. Ken Baring, not so much.
You don't have to be sorry about that, Dave.
Yeah, it was. There was just not. There wasn't much there.
I think there'll be a lot of people go, yeah, sounds about right.
You know what I would say? Lottery winner. That's kind of who he reminded me of.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll get his thoughts on Bobby Wagner and everything else going on around the NFL. Paul Moyer will join us next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.